So my friend Bora says, why do we eat only milchiks?
Give me the short end.
On Shavuot. First of all, I want to say that there's no obligation to eat milchiks on Shavuot. It's a Jewish custom. And like all Jewish customs, it should be kept, if it's possible. Obviously, if you're lactose intolerant, no one's going to tell you to eat milchiks and kill yourself. And milchiks is a custom on Shavuot, since Shavuot is one of the only holidays, in fact, the only holiday, that has no specific mitzvah connected with it. There's no mitzvah of shofar, like on Rosh Hashanah. There's no mitzvah of sukkah and lulav, like on sukkah. There's no mitzvah of matzah, like on Pesach. Void of any specific commandment. It's just a holiday. All right? So, throughout... staying up all night, again, it's a custom. It's a very late custom, as a matter of fact. But there's no mitzvah, commandment from God, commanded on this holiday, other than keep a holiday. That's it. So... I think the Jews throughout the generations felt a little bit uncomfortable with that for a very simple reason. First of all, every holiday does have a mitzvah connected to it. And secondly, Shavuot is sometimes overlooked. What's the simple reason why you think it's overlooked? Why is it in my first year in Halifax when I called people and wished them a good yontif, they had no idea what I was talking about? I'm not kidding you, this is a truth story. I called no less than 5 people, had no idea why I'm wishing them a good yontif in the month of May, month of June. No? Why do you think Shavuot was, like, overlooked?
Too quiet.
Too quiet? Yes? Continue that.
Minor holiday.
Too short. It's a major holiday. It's no different in terms of its severity in Pesach. It's only one day. Outside of Israel, 2 days. Maybe we got a little better, but that's it. So the Jews throughout the generations developed various customs on Shavuot, and one of them was what Boris said, eating milchiks on Shavuot. Now, there's so many reasons given to this that I'm not even going to attempt to tell you all of them. I'll give you the 2 simple reasons. All right? Maybe if we have time, 3. The first reason is very simple. Look, the Jews received the Torah on Shavuot, right? We all know the Torah ruins our life, right? Ah, thank God no one said yes. Let it be recorded. Nobody said yes. The Torah sometimes is hard to keep. One of the things that is hard to keep in the Torah is the kosher laws. So the Jews are standing at Mount Sinai. God says, keep kosher. Now they go back for lunch. What are they going to eat? All of a sudden they can't eat the cattle or the beef they usually did because you have to slaughter it, you have to salt it, you have to check it, and with all due respect, there's no schlachthaus around. There's no schlachtplatz around. There's no slaughterhouse. Meaning you don't have slaughterers that are yet able to do it. You have to train them. Therefore, they have no choice. What do they have left to eat? 2 things. Either fish or milk. Fish, because all you got to do is bop them on the head. Why didn't they eat fish? Simple reason. Where's Mount Sinai? Yes, say it. Say again, Larry, please.
Desert.
They're in the desert. There's no water in the desert as far as I'm aware.
Where did they find fish?
They couldn't find fish. So what do they have left? They had milk products.
They couldn't arrange to make it rain fish.
Oh, they could have made rain fish, yeah. So they ate milk products. They just milked cows. They can churn it. They can make it into butter. And that's why they ate milchiks. So remember that we eat milchiks on Shavuot. And that's the first reason I can get.
Now, what's this thing about the custom that you're supposed to get a blessing or something if you spend the night?
We'll get to that in a moment. We'll get to that in a moment. The second reason that's submitted about eating milk and meat has nothing to do with that. We today know how to keep kosher. We have kosher meat. It's wonderful. But rather, we're trying to express to God that on this day we receive the Torah and have to change our lifestyle. One of the many things we change is the separation between meat and milk. That's very unique to the Jewish nation. To my knowledge, there's no other nation in the world, no other religion in the world, that has that rule. Right? I mean, there are religions that have restrictions on food. Islam can't drink alcohol, can't have pork, have halal meat, but they don't have a restriction of meat and milk. That's only the Jewish nation. So how do we express the fact that we on Shavuot receive these laws? We do the following. We begin the meal with cheese and crackers. Okay? Then we're going to say, God, you see, we separate between meat and milk. So we clear the table, wash our hands, wash our mouth, and then we continue the meal with meat. Now there's a marked difference between these 2 explanations. According to the first explanation, you're supposed to only eat dairy, correct? Which poses a problem, because many Jews like myself feel joy on the holidays when they eat meat. So how do you feel joy on the holiday if you don't eat meat? The second custom, or the second reason, would produce a custom that you're supposed to eat at every meal, milk, then clear the table, and eat meat. You're supposed to eat both. So those are the two main reasons why Milosik developed as a custom on Shavuos, okay? Now, Larry asked, why is it just supposed, what's the staying up all night thing? I'm going to give two explanations to that too. I'm into two today, I don't know why. It's Wednesday. No, not a good call. If it was Tuesday, I had a good explanation why I'd give two. But anyway, first of all, the Jews are were told that tomorrow you're going to receive the Torah. They said, great. They went to sleep. They said goodnight. And they overslept. How were they waking up to receive the Torah?
God blew on the shofars.
Absolutely. God blew on the shofars, the fire, the thunder, everything else that happened around Mount Sinai that morning of Shavuos. So it was, with all due respect, not very respectful. God said you're going to receive the Torah tomorrow. What did the Jews do? They oversleep. They can care less. So to this day, at least in Kabbalistic terms, there's always a notion that you're supposed to fix the mistakes of the past, called the tikkun. So how do we fix this mistake? We don't sleep the night of Shavuos. We stay up all night to fix that original mistake. They weren't excited enough that they actually fell asleep so well they overslept. We're excited. We don't sleep the night of Shavuos. That's explanation number one. Explanation number two to this custom, and again it's a custom, I'm going to suggest myself. The Torah is supposed to be something that excites you. Meaning when you learn Torah like this morning, right now, it's supposed to excite you with all due respect. How do you show that it's exciting? I mean, we learn it every day, hopefully. If you don't learn it every day, you hear about it every day. It becomes a little bit of a regular, consistent aspect of our life, no different than brushing your teeth and taking a shower. So how do you show this is a holy Torah and that it's different? On the anniversary of receiving the Torah, what do? We stay up all night. We spend the whole night with it. You want to take a very simple analogy to explain it? Husband and wife in a healthy marriage. Look, once a year is their anniversary. But they hopefully are married the rest of the year. It wouldn't be a healthy marriage if once a year, the anniversary, they spend the day together, and the rest of the year, they don't see each other. The same thing is with us with regard to the Torah. It would be a little funny if we have any connection with the Torah that once a year on Shavuos, we love it, we cherish it, and the rest of the year, we ignore it. So what do? To show that it's the anniversary, and on the other hand, we have a consistent relationship, all year long, we learn it. Today, we're learning it. On Shavuos, it's the anniversary of receiving it. So what do? We spend the whole night with it. We show how much we cherish it, how much we love it. It's a special day. And therefore, we stay up all night to learn Torah. Now, I don't know of any blessing that's given to those that stay up all night. All I could say is it's definitely something that has a lot of merit to it. I have to admit that if you think about staying up all night versus staying up all day, how much more would you learn at night versus all day? What would you think? Probability-wise. Fall asleep more, I think the probability of falling asleep at night would be higher than during the day. So I don't think that whole experience is per se to learn Torah, to really internalize it. It's more to create an experience of excitement around receiving the Torah. So, you know, if you take the night into consideration, on Shavuos we can't daven early, so we have to start Mincha and Maariv pretty late. Then you have to eat the meal. Till the meal is over, it's all washed up, it's pretty much into the night already. It's around 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, midnight. Sunrise is pretty early this time of the year. So how many hours is that altogether? Maybe 4 hours of learning. Taking into consideration, you want to drink a cup of coffee to wake up, you'll have a little snack, you'll schmooze, you'll kibitz, and of course you'll say Lashon Hara, and you'll slander. No, how much time is left for the night? Not too many. On the other hand, if you learn during the day, you'd be more awake, you'd be more into it. If we decide we're going to have an all-day Shavuos learn-a-thon in the synagogue, from morning to night, after davening, all-day classes, different speakers, I'm sure you'd learn much more. But it wouldn't create any unique experience. It wouldn't create an anniversary kind of environment, right? If you just stayed home the night of your anniversary and you had a normal dinner, how is this night different from all other nights as a little boy? How do you make it different? Stay up all night instead of during the day. Right? And that's maybe why that custom developed. I have to admit that custom is a very important custom, simply because Jewish people, by law, don't keep it. However, you have to take into consideration other aspects. Truly receive the Torah on Shavuos, but Shavuos is also a holiday, and you're supposed to celebrate the holiday. I always say that it's not much of a celebration if you're going to stay up all night while your kids and your wife go to sleep, and then during the day you sleep all day while they're wide awake. I think a holiday should be kept within the family.
I would say you have to keep the kids up too.
So therefore, I definitely think that you have to take both into consideration. Learning all night is important. Spending the holiday with your family is important as well. And you have to find a way to properly balance the two. On a practical level, the smaller the kids are, the less you're going to sleep during the day. Take that into consideration as well. So these are the various reasons are given for learning all night on Shavuos. Once again, I just want to remind everyone, these are the customs that developed on Shavuos simply because there's no mitzvot. There's no commandments connected with the holiday. It's sort of a parva holiday. No meat, no milk. Parva. And therefore we try to institute and insert various customs. Like, for example, if you look in the synagogue, you'll see that a beautiful decorating committee of men, actually, decorated the synagogue and filled it up with greenery. Once again, there's two different explanations for this. The first explanation, the simple one is, this is a time of harvest. So we're bringing in greenery into the synagogue, so to speak, thanking God for the time of the harvest. It's really spring into summer now. The second reason that's given is the fact that there was a big miracle on the day that the Jews received the Torah on Mount Sinai. What's the definition of a desert? There used to be a song in Hebrew. We used to go on hikes in the desert. We used to sing, Kol HaNegev U'Shmama. We just kept on saying the whole song. Kol HaNegev U'Shmama. Kol HaNegev U'Shmama. The whole Negev, which is the desert in Israel, is one big Shmama. Barren. Because all you see is sand dunes and sand dunes and sand dunes and rocks and sand dunes and sand dunes and rocks and sand dunes. It's pretty boring. That's the natural desert. The day the Jews received the Torah, according to the Medrash, it was a very big miracle. Mount Sinai all of a sudden had greenery on it. So remember this miracle, we bring greenery into the synagogue and we dress it up beautifully. It also says that God held Mount Sinai over the Jewish people like a chuppah. So to speak, there's a marriage now between the Jewish people and God. So we put the chuppah above the bima in our synagogue, trying to remember that. So as you can see, we're trying to insert customs upon customs into this holiday for the two reasons I've developed. Number one, it's a holiday that's void of any mitzvot. And number two, it's a pretty short holiday. It's one day, 2 days. Not significant. People could very easily mistake it. Okay. That's
From around from just like for a Pesach
or you're absolutely right, Larry, that it was funny that for Pesach he came to Jerusalem for a 7 day holiday.
Yeah.
And for Sukkot he came for an 8 day holiday. And for Shavuos he came for 1 day. But you're absolutely right, it's equal obligations. If you're living in Israel within a certain distance of the temple, you were obligated to come up to the temple on Shavuos, just like Pesach and Sukkot. There was no difference. The only practical problem on Shavuos was that the Jews are obligated on every holiday to come to the Jerusalem to do three obligations. What we say in Musaf. La'alot, Lariot, and Yishachavot. They have to come to the temple and be seen by God in the temple. Right? Instead of saying Lir'ot, which means to see, Lera'ot means to be seen. God has to see you in the temple. Number two, you have to bring three sacrifices. So it's four things. Three sacrifices. You have to bring an olat re'iyah, which means an elevation sacrifice. You just put it onto the altar and it's totally burnt, goes up to God. Right? Shalmei chagigah, a sacrifice called a chagigah sacrifice from the word chag, which means what? Chag, chag sameach. Holiday. Okay, the holiday sacrifice, and shalmei re'iyah, sacrifice in honor of coming to Jerusalem and being seen. And those two sacrifices are eaten both by the altar, so to speak, burned, by the Kohen, and by the person himself. Right? So, those are the obligations you used to do on all the holidays. The problem is, if all the Jewish people in Israel, or living within the distance of the temple, are coming to Jerusalem, we got a little problem. When you speak about the holiday of Pesach, you have 7 days to do this. When you speak about the holiday of Sukkot, you have plenty of days as well. Not so with regard to Shavuos. One,
so
little
they did that ceremony where they walked them up.
The film's not strict.
There was that thing that they came, there was a ceremony where a village was assigned.
Correct.
Custom of
doing. So what happened on Shavuos was that they had this very technical problem. So what they did was they made a law that you could bring those sacrifices up to 7 days after the holiday. So instead of the holiday of Shavuos being 1 day, halachically maybe, thinking about it, it was a 7 day holiday. And this has ramifications until this day. I'll give you two. Number one, we omit the Tachanun, which is a sad prayer in the Shacharit service, from after Shavuos for 7 days. Because in the temple, in those times, they were still bringing sacrifices, and every time you bring a sacrifice, it's a great joy. What's the joy of bringing a sacrifice? So Terry's going to say, with all due respect, you lose money. You got to buy the sacrifices. You got to bring it to the temple. What's so joyful about losing money? There is a big joy about bringing a sacrifice. You're eating from God's dining room table. It could be better than that. God's giving you to take some of my food. And this is not the rabbi giving you leftovers. This is God giving you leftovers. This is great. That gives you great joy. So because of that joy, we omit talking. The second ramification with regard to the 7-day extension is a very important halakhic one. What happens if someone loses a loved one on the eve of Shavuos? And we bury them on the eve of Shavuos. What's the law? God forbid tomorrow someone in the world, in the Jewish world, God forbid, is going to pass away. They're going to bury them prior to the holiday. When do they sit Shiva? There's no Shiva on the Shavuos, right? No Shiva on any holiday. Answer is they don't. A minute before the holiday, they sit down on the ground, they remove their shoes. It's as if 7 days are finished. Finished! Amazing. Very hard law. We'll explain that some other time. Right?
Yes.
Now, they have left what? The obligation of 30 days. Meaning, after you sit Shiva, there's 21 more days of more minor mourning observances. So that's still left. So the holiday of Shavuos this year is Thursday night. They, God forbid, they were sitting Shiva prior to Shavuos. Shavuos comes in, it's as if 7 days are over. Now how many days are left? 21. 30 days in a month. First 7 days, Shiva. Last 21 days, what we call Shloshim, or the 30-day obligation. It's really 21 days in practice. All right, they got 21 days. Because of the 7-day extension, Shavuot, the holiday of Shavuot, the one little day, is considered 7 days halachically. So when Shavuot is over, how many days do you have left?
21.
Only 14. The 7 days are taken care of. So listen to this. On the eve of Shavuot, when you sat Shiva, 7 days are finished. The one day of Shavuot comes along, another 7 days are taken away from you. Now you only got 14 days left. It's a very unique law with regard to Shavuot and the 7-day extension. So those are the two ramifications of the fact that Shavuot was only one day, and it really posed a problem.